Welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. It's someone's birthday.
Yay! Robin Bailey, 50 today. Yeah. And the former Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull, came in to wish you a very happy birthday right here in the studio.
Amazing.
Also, we continue to help little three-year-old Henry. We need to get this little boy home for Christmas after he had an awful virus. And you guys, our Triple M listeners, continue to lend a hand.
And the big question going around Brisbane was, why does Kev Walters let Trevor Gilmeister go from his Origin coaching team? Did he sack him or did he walk? We answered that question.
Wonderful stuff. Do you share your birthday with anyone famous?
Kamal. Whoopi Goldberg.
Ooh, big Whoopi.
What was Kamal saying?
Why are people so unkind?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Now, it is a very special day today, of course.
Yes, we are celebrating the 50th birthday.
Robin.
Happy birthday.
Robin. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Now, Danny Glover, when so special.
Yeah. He loves you. He told us to tell you that. When you get to 50, you think you've probably seen it all. It's the law of diminishing returns, isn't it? You start to get a little bit cynical and you think, oh, you know, what is left in life that I haven't already done?
Well, it was funny yesterday. It suddenly occurred to me that 50 sounds really old. Like, I remember as a little girl.
Not in the new money.
When people were turning 50, it was like, oh my gosh, they're still alive.
But that's
and
when
here
people
I am.
Didn't live to 60 very often.
Well, no, I'm not that old.
You can remember, you know, your grandparents having a 50th birthday.
It's and thinking, that's just
that's
odd.
It's not right.
And the government doesn't help because last week in the post came my bowel cancer check.
Yes. Well, that is so enjoyable, sending a stool sample to the government officially.
I told you that friend of mine just dropped one straight in there, didn't take a smear. Anyway, don't do that.
Did you put one in the bag?
Not me. A friend of ours did. This girl, she didn't have her glasses on and she just
should have plenty to test.
Yeah.
Yeah, cop that. That'll take years.
So I won't do that. Yeah, but
do
thanks.
Correctly.
My point this morning is that I think that life does, in a way, begin at 50. There's so much learning and there's so much experience we had. 2015.
But you've already got all the experience, haven't you?
Well, a couple of things happened in 2015. I had a 2-year-old at the time, and along came a bloke called Malcolm Turnbull, who turned my life around.
Oh,
he became the Prime Minister of Australia, and all of a sudden I was talking like him. And it was this kind of rebirth of my career in a lot of ways because I was picked up by Triple M as Malcolm Turnbull.
My God,
and
is
I'm
that
here
at
today.
50?
At 50.
At 50, that started. And then, you know, he became very popular for a live show for me. And all of a sudden, I was just. Malcolm has kind of consumed my life for the last 3 years.
And didn't he tell us just after 7 that he joined federal politics?
I know, it was interesting watching him.
Oh, 40.
And you know, when he was 50. When he was 50, he entered the parliament. 2004.
Wow.
Well, Robin's already in radio, so what does she do? Burlesque dancing in terms of a new career? What's where
well,
she head?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Here's some pasties. Whack them on. writhing around.
Twerk away.
That is never going to happen.
Well, you never say never because you don't know what's around the corner because that Malcolm opportunity for me just presented itself and I guess, you know, federal parliament for him, he may have aspired to it, but that opportunity popped up. So, you know, I'm saying, how did life start for you at 50? You know, tell us your story. 133 53. Marto, can you remember what happened at 50 for you?
Just I turned 50, I played my last ever game of footy.
Is that
last
right?
Last ever game of rugby. Got two broken ribs and I did my knee.
Okay.
Well, let's get some better stories.
Yeah, we're not looking
that,
for that.
not how did life end at 50?
And can we also say that if your parents' life began at 50, it doesn't just have to be yours.
Yeah.
John of Turingah, we're talking about when did life begin at 50? What you got, John?
Well, happy birthday, Robin,
thank
firstly.
You.
And yes, I decided to start an engineering degree and have my first child at the same time.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, well done.
Wow. Have you finished your engineering degree and how old is the kid?
He's 6 now, and no, I haven't. I actually haven't got out of first year, so
you're
in a struggle.
So you've gone right back to becoming a uni bum, not finishing your units.
Yeah, well, apart from when I spend my time surfing.
Right.
You sound like you have a great life, John.
You'll die at 88 or whatever, and the government will be chasing your 32-year-old son for your hex payment.
I can only hope, Marta.
Oh, too good, mate.
It's great stuff, isn't
it? Life beginning at 50.
Kimberly of Belmere, did life begin at 50 for you?
Not for me, but for my grandma. Back in the late 60s, she started nursing at 54.
Oh, wow.
She was an amazing woman.
What was she doing before then, just out of interest?
Would you believe she did chicken farming? She worked in a mill, in the mills back in England in the 20s and 30s.
Oh, God.
Oh, grand.
So she was uneducated in terms of schooling, but one of the most intelligent women I'll ever know.
And did she make it as a nurse? Did she go on to do nursing?
She did. She did it for 10 years, and they were the most best 10 years of her life. And from there, she went on to volunteering and respite centres and blood bank, toy libraries. She had more of a social life than I've ever had in my life.
Nice one.
I love that vitality. People just like refuse to sit down and go, well, I'm at a certain age now. Keep going.
Yes.
Tony Vinogra, what happened to you?
Oh, good morning, everybody, and happy birthday, Robin.
Thank you.
We bought a boat. So life was getting a bit awkward after three kids. They're all at that age where they're just buying their own cars, and we'd just come out of that point where it was, you know, netball,
school fees,
you know, sports and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly it was like we had this time on our hands, so we went and bought a nice cruiser and sail around Moreton Bay every weekend. It's just awesome fun.
Keep Tony's number.
I got a boat on the deep blue sea.
People with boats always need friends, don't they, Tone?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a lot of them, and more is even better.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to go out alone.
No. It was all leading to this, Robin Bailey, turning 50, meeting Tony from Inogra. Mm.
What, so that Marto could have a friend to go to?
So Marto could have a boating friend.
Free trip over to Robin Island.
Buy us a boat.
Right.
Yes. I mean, buy a boat.
Oh, right.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, our former Prime Minister. He's doing the rounds of Australia, talking to everyone. And he's here with us in studio today for your birthday.
Here he comes.
Thank you. Why don't you
get on my
microphone?
What happens this side? Well,
this is my mic. You get on your mic. Don't press that button.
That's annoying.
Go
former
over your
PM
mic.
Over here.
There we go.
What was that sound effect?
It was a cow mooing. I don't know why you pressed that button.
Hello, sir.
There's a whole lot of mooing.
Don't worry
sound
about the mooing.
Over there.
Hello.
Well, hello. It's lovely to be here at Triple M in Brisbane. Always a pleasure and never a chore. And happy birthday to you, Robin Bailey.
Thank you, sir.
5-0.
I know.
Big 5-0. Good on you. I mean, it all starts at 50. It really does.
Does it?
Well, you know, if you
are you 50?
I'm 64.
Oh, goodness. Sorry, sir.
I'm 64 years of age.
You hold yourself together well.
Of course I do, because I like to exercise. I get on the rower. I get in my car. And I also have a morning smoothie of goji berries, kale and cacao. So I keep
myself
fit.
Just a normal guy.
Yeah. So 14 years ago, what happened? I went into the federal parliament at the age of 50.
That's what happened 14 years ago.
My career started. I became the member for Wentworth. I've never voted Liberal, of course. Whenever I go into a polling booth, I just get my greenhouse of rep slip and draw something obscene on it, a phallus or something of that nature, and then just stuff it in the ballot box.
Well, it is Movember. What are you doing for men's health?
Well, I've always been a great advocate of men's health. You know, the Are You OK movement is terrific. You know, Beyond Blue, ask for help if you need it. Of course, I've been through a very difficult time and spoken to some people close to me. I've been speaking to my son Alex and Lucy. They've been a rock. But what am I doing? I'm on the rower. I like to work up a sweat still in the morning.
Moustache, though.
No moustache or beard. I've never grown any kind of facial hair.
You'd look funny with a little Hitler.
The little Charlie Chaplin, I prefer to call it. Yes. Not the Hitler. No. Well, let's forget that altogether. I know that McDonald's is a friend of the station, so I've been pumping up my nugget intake. You've got to get your protein.
Absolutely.
Quarter pounder. And a French fry, not too bad if you if you watch your intake. And, of course, get your prostate checked, gentlemen. That's what you've got to do.
Exactly.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I went to get my prostate checked and the doctor said to me, you do understand this is a digital examination?
Yes.
I said, yes, I do. And he said, it's not uncommon during an examination of this nature to get an erection.
Oh.
I said, I don't think that'll be happening, doctor. He goes, I'm not talking about you, Mr. Prime Minister. So it's a joke. It's a joke to talk about men's health.
That's
You're on radio. Give me a yellow card. Yeah, I want one.
Thanks.
So you can do that at Liberal Party functions, not here on radio.
You can't hear doing that at 7 o'clock, I'm sorry.
Really? Yeah. Okay, let's it's all about men's health.
Get back on track.
Beyond blue.
You mentioned your son Alex.
Yes.
Now, he has come out firing and said he'll be personally, he's 26 years of age, financing independence against Barnaby Joyce and Tony Abbott at the next election.
Well, poor Alex is going to do that. And with my blessing to an extent, I've got to say, poor Alex has always been at a loose end. For quite a while now, he's had to live in my shadow.
Son of a rich guy.
I mean, very hard when you've got privilege to find motivation. So he moved to Singapore with his wife and family. And, you know, once he's done some mergers and acquisitions, I mean, how do you fill in the day? Down to Orchard Road to get fitted out for a cheap suit and a Thai massage. I mean, that's pretty much a standard day.
For your
son. Nazi goring or something of that nature. He's going to be funding some independents who have an environmental policy, and I think it's sensible politics.
Why those two, though?
Well, why Barnaby Joyce and Tony Abbott? Because I hate them.
Okay, that's a good enough reason.
Most mornings I wake up and my waking thought is, I hope Tony's dead. and I'm not proud of it, but of course the beetroot, he took all of my political oxygen, Robin Bailey, Barnaby Joyce, and I mean, really and truly, what a munter, as you would call him.
All right, so we don't want to get... No hate, let's be peaceful
about this, but really, you know, Barnaby would always get around without a cobra on, and he's not a farmer.
No.
And I wanted to say to him at times, you know, Barnaby, if you want to be a farmer, act like a farmer. Farmer wants a wife. Oh, no, you don't. Bang.
Bang.
Got him on the way out. Gave him a clip.
So how's Lucy, your beautiful wife?
She's terrific. She's very happy. We've been, of course, in New York, and she's travelling with me. She's my rock. But she's never going to be papped in leisure wear again. That was not a happy...
She doesn't do
they
trainees.
Weren't very kind to her.
No,
that was not
those
all right.
Photos were too revealing.
Okay.
Yes.
You don't wear a tie anymore. That's the end.
No, I'm casual Malcolm now. I'm just getting around in a bit of Gant or Ralph Lauren polo.
The big horse.
Just keeping
terrific
it simple.
Stuff.
Yeah, lovely.
I'm just keeping it simple, Brendo.
One of the guys.
And how are you and your family going?
Really well.
A new father?
You look exhausted. Awake most of the time.
You look like you've been doing a lot of weeping in the shower.
I haven't slept in a month. Thank you for joining us today.
Good on you, brother.
Good on you.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
That's right, we're lending a hand to get a little bloke called Henry home for Christmas. Henry's 3 years old. Pardon me. He's been left paralysed and on a ventilator after contracting a virus that has destroyed his tiny little body. Went from a healthy little 3-year-old 6 months ago, and he's been devastated. So now he's well enough, he's made enough recovery to head home for Christmas. We just need your help to get the house that he's going to live in up to scratch. Here's what happened yesterday when we put it out there.
Henry was a healthy, happy 3-year-old. He is an awesome little kid. Contracted a chest infection that didn't seem to clear up, and he just got really sick. And then he started having seizures on the fourth day.
Oh, no.
He lost the ability to breathe. Had to go into life support. They just didn't know what was wrong. We found out that Henry has anterior horn cell damage, which is the sheath on your spinal cord has been attacked, and that's why he can't breathe.
You've left your country home for good, and you've bought a place in Brisbane. And you need what stuff done?
So we need ramp built so he can have access to the house, and a big open bathroom so that we can get him into the shower in his shower chair.
Greg from Brisbane Post and Beams.
Can you help us with anything?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, we can do the rear. We can do whatever you need, really, mate.
Good on you, Greg. And what about this? Jack from Narangba Timbers has gotten in touch as well. Didn't want to come on air, but he is supplying all the timber we need for the job.
We just got a text from Wagner's, from Dennis Wagner. He said they're good for the concrete. So, because we got about 12 cubic metres, which
from
is 1,500 bucks or 2,000. So,
Wayne of the Gold Coast, morning.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good. What can you help us with?
I'm a chippy.
Righto, too good, mate.
Rob from Tambourine from S&R Concreting. Hey, Rob.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Do you do all the boxing and everything? Is that up your alley?
Not a problem at all.
Anthony of Fernie Grove, can you help us?
You know, when I heard the story, it struck a chord at me because I've been in the situation.
Alex from ADB Painting in Ipswich.
We're more than happy to come out and do the painting for it.
Roger of Bowen Hills, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a building supervisor.
Yes, so happy to help.
Good man.
Thank you. There you go. And that is just the start. We had it up on our website as well. Still more people are coming in and you can help too. Thank you, Jeff Heath, who's a concrete contractor. He's going to help lay that concrete.
Good one.
Aaron Stevenson is a draftsman and he's being a part of it. Bruce Sutton is a plumber. And Sean Goodchap is a tiler. Yeah. And they're all come on board as well.
And Sean is a good chap.
He is.
Actually, I met Roger. You hear Roger, that last voice on the montage, rang up to say he wanted to be the project manager. Thank God. I wish
you
he
love
had him.
Him.
I wish I had him in my life when I was building. Oh my God, he is so well organised. So he is virtually going to be running the show. He'll be like Keith. I'll be like, what's his
name?
Dan. No, I'll be like Scotty Cam.
Right, walking around doing not very much.
Yes,
just
doing bugger all. Right. And Roger will be like Keith, actually telling everyone what to do properly. And they're all the time. Oh, amazing. And thank you to Jack from Narangba Timber. They're doing all the timber for all the ramps and the renos and stuff inside. And Brisbane Post and Beam doing all the Rio.
Oh, this is amazing. We're going to have such a clear before and after shot of what the house is now like and what it will look like very soon.
Can you imagine how hellish things are? This is coming into Christmas. This is when every tradesman's flat out and these boys and girls have still given their time and also the goods and everything else.
Well, it's already started because you headed down yesterday. You met up with Roger. You started surveying.
Roger's on his way there right now. He's going to have a meeting there with a couple of tradies at 7 because we've got a, there's a fair bit going on.
I'm going to try and help him make a real building site too. I'm going to go and buy some People magazines and some chocolate milk and just spread those around.
It doesn't happen anymore, mate.
Doesn't it really?
No. No. You go and sit in the Portaloo and we'll turn it on.
Go and sit in the Portaloo, Moon.
Drinking Seven Oaks. It's the big breakfast on Triple M.
There was a story about tradesmen. This bloke had ordered and he needed a whole new car park, like, and he was under the impression he was going to get bitumen. All right, what he ended up with was gravel, and there was obviously, well, let him tell the story, Vinny.
He was promised a bitumen car park at a rock bottom price. Instead, all he got was rocks.
We thought, you know, it was a decent, fair deal.
But it wasn't. Loose gravel, leaking liquid, and grass is growing through. Vinny refused to pay $10,000, and that's when things really got rough.
And it started getting nasty. Yeah, they were bullying.
Let's talk about this.
You can't pay 10 grand for that. I saw it on the news. That was shocking.
Well, that might have been six grand's worth, five, you know, all the trucks and the levelling and everything. There was obviously a misunderstanding. And this is
so they didn't just take the money and run. There was some work going on.
There was a finished
product.
Car park was done. A finished product of types
leveled
was done.
Leveled and compacted?
Yeah, leveled and compacted, but it wasn't bitumen. It was just, it was loose-ish grout. But that was obviously because they went, that'll be 10,000, and he's gone, oh, that's cheap, you're on. And there was a miss. And the problem is now Vinny owes 10 grand. Like, he fair dinkum owes them 10 grand.
Because they did work. And even if there was a misunderstanding, there has
about
work
what
been
the
done.
Finished work
but he was promised
like.
a viscous hydrocarbon product.
And they delivered
bitumen.
Something what they thought was. This is what
now,
happens when there's disputes.
It's black and it's sticky and it smells good.
Maybe
and
the
then
word
it gets
bitumen
rolled.
Was,
you've got a steam roller in there and there's steam coming
you
off
don't
it.
Know
that's
that.
What Vinny thought was going to happen. Mm. But in their minds, when they quoted, obviously they didn't. And this happens all the time. And this is why people don't pay. And this is why tradesmen get angry. And this is what I want to talk about today.
Okay.
It's coming up to that time of year where people, you know, wanting things done and maybe the conversation or the contract isn't written clearly enough and next thing you know, you've got people in dispute, mainly against tradesmen.
If you're not paid by the end of November, you won't see that money till February.
That's right. I want to tell a story about a bloke who lifted a house for a woman and she wouldn't pay him the last $12,000. I've told this story briefly before and I don't want to get anyone in trouble. He went out to his car and said, I'll give you one last chance. And she said, no, you can go and get stuffed. And something in her mind wasn't right.
No.
He said, listen, my job was to lift your house. He went out and got the chainsaw and started cutting down posts. Like big, you know, big
what
round telegraph
pole.
Would have started.
House
to...
stands up. Yeah, you can miss a couple of posts and the house will stand up
did
for a while.
Did she come up with the 12 grand?
Yeah, 12 grand was all right. But he ended up going into the big house for a little while. But you're apparently not allowed to do that.
Apparently.
That's what I want to talk about.
You're kind of threatening someone with a chainsaw.
But you're not threatening their person. You're just threatening their post
but also
that you put in.
Assault is fear.
All right. The other thing is, this is what happens. If you don't pay me and I put a pool in, I'll come over and bust up that. This is where I want to go. 133353.
I thought you used to stab tyres.
No, that wasn't me. And I've told you that too.
Okay.
That was someone else who did that.
That was somebody else did that.
Jesus, you're loose. What has happened when you tried to recover some money? Did you go in and get the spa you put? Did you go and get the laundry? People sometimes don't pay.
I used to work as a debt collector. My tactic was, after about 6 weeks, you would say, you'd get the person on the phone and they say, listen, man, I'm not interested in paying. And this is basically rolling a bomb into any small business person in Australia. Call a small businessman a bludger. They lose their mind. Listen, mate, you're just a bludger. Bang! Explosive. You effing see him. La, 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 la. Smash down the phone. Wait 3 minutes.
Yeah.
The post-adrenaline surge. Oh. They're quivering. I ring them up. Teary. You don't. You should not call me that. I'm just doing this for a job. All right, bugger you, I'll pay you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you emotionally abuse these poor people. You take them on a roller coaster.
you shouldn't speak to me like that. I'm just doing my job. Oh. All right, mate, I'll bloody pay you.
Well, did you ever use different voices like Malcolm Turnbull or Shane Bourne and that sort of thing?
Come on, buddy, pay up. We buried your uncle. Now where are the Oxford Scholars, champion?
Drew of North Lakes, what have you done to get your cash? What happened?
We were painting this big old house. It's in town there, and big weatherboards. And as per usual, you get a few extras on the jobs, and the guy didn't want to pay the extras at the end of the job. We knew when he was out. We knew when he was golfing and doing all these other activities. So we went around there and, loaded up some paint stripper into the gun and sprayed it up on the weatherboards, and he got a few bubbles and a bit of paint stripping off his house. So everyone was even.
Yep.
And then what happened? Did you get any cash?
Well, no, we didn't end up getting any money, but we got a knock on the door from the coppers. He sent the coppers around. Obviously, he knew what was going on, and the cops sort of said to me, this is the thing. Old mate sent us around here. He reckons you've paint stripped your house. Have you got any paint stripper? I said, yeah, of course I've got paint stripper. I'm a painter. He said, oh, okay. And they were sort of like, well, we've got him here. And I went down to the shed and I got out a 500ml can of unopened paint stripper. I said, there you go, boys. And they sort of looked at me.
Case closed.
And rolled their eyes and went, no worries, mate. Sorry we wasted your time, you know.
Case closed. So, oh, that's nice.
Paint stripper in the gun. So much fun to be had.
Matt of Richlands, how'd you get your cash?
Oh, I was working for a joinery company about 20 years ago, and the boss had heard that the builder that he was working for was very close to going broke. So we'd put in about 20 to 30 grand's worth of windows and doors. So 5 o'clock the next morning, we went around there with some nail saws and cut out all the windows and doors and took them back to the factory.
Took all their windows and doors.
And what happened? How did that resolve itself?
To be honest, I don't really know because I was just a labourer back then. I was a young fella.
You were ordered to go and get the windows and doors.
Oh, no, we were told we didn't have to do it, but I was like, yeah, why not? This is a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Helping the boss out.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got a mate. If that's what can happen. I got a mate, electrician. He's owed $500,000 by the builder he's working for at the moment. They feed him in dribs and drabs, and then you're 80 grand short at the end, and that's
but
when
you... But $500,000?
That's what can happen on these high-rises, because there's a floor going up every two weeks.
A friend of... let's say a friend of my brother's. Uh-oh. It's definitely not my brother, who owns his own business and was owned a debt. Yes. He went around to the debtor's office, waited for him to leave, went in, pretended to be a mate, stole his hard drive, put it in his boot, and waited for the guy to come back.
And then
that guy called the cops. Cops turn up. This is theft. We're going to charge you. And it was only a older, wiser cop that
he knew what had
said, okay, you got to pay him. And you are very lucky that we're not charging you with theft. Because that's what happens with those windows and doors.
Yeah.
Once the property's changed hands, that's then theft. So it's a dangerous thing to do.
Okay, so we're advising don't take any of these on as suggestions.
Don't do crimes.
Graham of the Sunny Coast, what do you reckon? What happened?
Yeah, when I was younger, my father was a sparky and he'd been having trouble getting some money from this person that owed him, and we were on our way out to a friend's place on the Saturday night, and he dropped in on this person to try and collect the last of his money, and they gave him the brush off, said, look, you'll have to come back another day, which had happened over and over, we've got friends over for dinner, and then shut the door in his face. So instead of losing his cool, he walked around to the side of the house and took all the fuses out of the fuse box and let them sit in the dark for a while.
No.
That'll
bring you to your senses.
That'll get you.
The big breakfast, Triple M.
Now, Greg Martin, your sister used to own a funeral parlour.
Yeah, I talked about that.
And we love the fact that you can give us inside goss on funeral homes because you also used to work there. So I am always looking for stories that can...
There's a lot of happy stories in a funeral parlour.
But sometimes the dead mocked.
Perhaps what happens behind closed doors. Yeah. People in the funeral business have a wonderful sense of humour and they have to. Can I leave it at that?
They have to. Well, this, so I'm always looking for stories that can open up conversations about funeral homes.
Yes.
And there is a new one out today. The Brisbane City Council is being forced to buy a new cremator for their Mount Gravatt crematorium.
Oh, no. What happened to the cremator?
Well, the old
one. Can you buy the old one?
Well, the old one was built in 1999.
God. Moon wants to buy. Is they auctioning it off anywhere? Because you're good Barbie.
No.
Heaps of heat. Just
clean it first. What obviously. A huge pizza oven that would be.
Oh, you wouldn't. Oh. Okay, 75 centimetres wide and 65 centimetres high is the old one.
You know they slide a coffin. Everyone gets, it's not just a big fire and you just toss coffins in there.
It's got gas
one
jets,
coffin
hasn't
goes
it?
In and then a coffin goes
Do
into another cremator.
Do they clean it in between?
Oh, yeah, they sweep out the ashes to give them back to you.
You know what? If you have artificial joints, they pull all that metal out and they send it to some company over in Holland, I believe.
Yeah, because it's titanium.
Okay. All the ortho metal.
I didn't know that.
They pull it out.
And sometimes all the bones don't
get
burnt.
What's left inside is just a pile of ashes and big bits.
Some bones.
Yeah, but they...
I can also say that with my dad, who died when we were 11, we got given back... No. We're all from the...
39 years ago.
Gold teeth were also returned.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Worth money.
Wow. Anyway...
So, what about the jewellery?
Back to the story.
Jewellery, they want to take all... Take all the rings and stuff off, but I also take the handles off the coffin because that doesn't, you know, because the smoke goes up into the atmosphere, so they don't want all that rubbish in there.
Oh, so do they recycle the handles off the coffin or do they give them back to the funeral
home? I don't know where they went. I told you about the flowers, didn't I? Because they take all the flowers off the top of the coffin and then young blokes like me used to grab them and give them out to chicks.
Girls.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Which we're still not okay with.
Yeah, still not. Okay,
not
so should
romantic.
I just tell you...
Flowers.
That because the
I don't know where they came from.
If you were getting sex off the back of death flowers, you're a wrong
okay,
person.
Okay, I give up.
No, go on, please. No, please. So you pushed it at the end. You pushed it at the end.
Okay, let's go through the dimensions of the old cremator.
Okay, the old cremator was 75 centimetres wide, 65 centimetres high.
Coffin size.
Right. Except the problem is that the obesity crisis in this country has got to a certain point where there are people that are now dying that can't fit into
bigger
that.
Coffins.
Not well, yeah. And now
just
bigger ovens.
Trying
bigger
to push urns. A Bombarda into the old oven. It's like, this thing will not go.
Stop it.
On your Bombarda.
What am I going to do? We're going to have to take them out and throw them on the bonfire.
There are so many things that are completely inappropriate about
this. Bombarda will not go into
this.
The coffin.
Okay, stop.
We're going to cut some off.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Unintentionally, this is a Where Are They Now segment on old rugby league players.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Some of them go and get a bobcat business. Some of them go and become accountants. Yeah, they run pubs. They all do all sorts of things.
Pubs don't surprise
I think
me.
I think it's a thing, Marto. You should be doing this every week. Where are they now?
Oh, my God.
Old rugby league players.
All right, well, let's start with this gentleman. He used to play for the Gold Coast Titans. He played 120 games for the Titans, all right, between 2009 and 2015.
How long have the Titans been going?
Ooh.
2005, they were in the finals. No, they weren't. Yes, they were.
Won a final.
Hold on. Broncos started in 1988. That's a good question. 1997, where the Super League.
What happened after the Super
League? Birthday girl's going to get onto that one for us.
Doesn't matter.
All right. So he played for them from 2009 to 2015, 120 games. Fastest man in rugby league. So he was. His name is Kevin the Flash Gordon, of course.
Oh,
it's so easy
Flash Gordon.
For someone with the last name Gordon to be called the Flash, but he truly was a Flash. 10.67 for 100 on the wing, scored plenty of tries in the NRL.
Sidebar, right? Flash Gordon, superhero.
Yes.
There was a pornographic movie named Flesh Gordon as a parody.
I'm not surprised you know
Same
that.
Kind of storyline, just a lot more... superhero.
Did he save a lot of people?
Flash, savior of the universe.
All right, back to Flash Gordon, your bizarre unit. All right, so he was a Philippines background. He actually played a test match for the Philippines. Who knew that they played test rugby league? So he had one of those.
Called Kevin.
Scottish father.
Right.
Scottish father, Filipino mother, played for the Gold Coast.
What a mix.
Just, just before he finished, 2015, retired, okay, before he finished, he was starting to go a little bit bizarre at that stage. If you check out YouTube, it goes, Kevin Gordon, magic carpet. So he got a rug from Rugs R Us or whatever, and he lay on it. I showed Robin, I've showed you, haven't I?
Well, they're in the supine position.
No, he had a little invisible, like a really strong fishing line connected to a car that was out of the shot, and he was just riding up this road, this nice smooth road at the Gold Coast,
flying
as
carpet.
If he was on a car, magic carpet. And you never saw the car. It was just,
it's very odd.
I remember it at the time going, this cat's really bizarre. Well, it's proved to be that. 3 years after his retirement, he's released an album.
Which is very Filipino. They love to sing. Manny Pacquiao released an album.
Did he?
Was Manny Pacquiao a good singer?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
A better boxer.
I think Imelda Marcos.
She sang?
Either her or her husband released an album. Like Filipino.
They're known for it.
You get into a Filipino taxi, it's all about the karaoke.
All right. Well, here's the first one off his album, Kevin Gordon. Take it to the beach and get it all tan. That's something
that the fans will only understand. Is that a cover or is that an original?
I think original. This is called Get Behind It.
This is not a piss take, right. Okay?
Are you sure?
Have you got a second one there?
Hang on. This is the chorus.
Get behind it.
It's actually pretty catchy.
There's a cover. You get behind it.
It's like a Chris Lilley. Have you got another one?
This is She
it's
Rings.
It's a little bit R. Kelly, Get
it's,
Behind
It, isn't
it?
Get Behind It. That was Get Behind It. This is She it. Rings My Bells.
I think it's all of the theme, isn't it? Get Behind Robin, It, She Rings My
it
Bells.
It on your second or third time. Listen to that bell.
What's that dong euphemism for?
Yeah, when they hear the dung, dung, dong.
Okay, who's he selling that to?
I don't know, but he's got... Have you got one more?
Yes, this is called... I said... You know what you're getting, don't you?
You
know the song title. It's called
Yeah, you're getting some brown sugar, Kevin Gordon,
the one and only time you'll be heard on Triple M.
Big breakfast on Triple M. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.